Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
To the end zone. It's Robinson for the touchdown. Burrow under pressure. Down he goes. Robert Quinn got him. And the Bears defense stiffens and pushes the Bengals out of field goal range.
Eddie Jackson off the edge. And look at him right there. That's exactly who they motioned him in for, to block number four off the edge.
Fourth and two. Burrow to the sideline. Incomplete. He wanted Higgins. But Kendall Vildor slams the door. Burrow not going to get a chunk play here. Instead, it's the Bears to take a chunk out of Joe Burrow. Malone Nichols with the sack. Pocket collapsing again. And there's the sack for Khalil Mack. His first of the year. Bengals bring five-man pressure. Fields in trouble. Ball is out. Loose on the turf. And Fields is able to recover it. Logan Wilson had a chance for a scoop and score after the Hendrickson strip. Burrow from the pocket has time to find Higgins, who drops the football, and it's scooped up by Chicago. Deshaun Gibson's got it. And Gibson down at the Bengal 40-yard line. Fields. Good protection this time. Good ball to the sideline where Mooney is waiting. Sliding down at the nine. First and goal Bears. 27th straight dating to last year. And Santos puts this one right down the middle. Crowd trying to make it more difficult now. Burrow throws. Intercepted. It is picked off. And on the run is Roquan Smith. Down the sideline. Smith gets a block all the way. The pick six for Roquan Smith. Play action. Good blitz pick. Oh, by Gibson, and it's intercepted. Jalen Johnson with the pick. Bengals' last three possessions all have ended in turnovers. Back-to-back picks as Burrow will throw on first down. Pressure up the middle. He's hit it. It's a third straight pick. A third straight interception. This one for Angelo Blackson. And it's first and goal Bears. On for the chip shot field goal. And it makes it 20-3. Justin Fields does enough today to get the win over the Cincinnati Bengals.
Sounds from yesterday as the Bears get to 1-1 with a trip to Cleveland coming up. That's your reward.
Who dat? Who dat? Who dat say gonna beat them Bengals? Everybody say gonna beat them Bengals. Bears beat them Bengals. And so they're 1-1, looking forward to the next game. Lot of layers to this Bears victory Monday, though, because we had to determine who's going to start, who's going to be healthy to be able to start a quarterback for the Bears against the Browns.
That's right. I think you're with me that we probably expect it to be Justin Fields because of Andy Dalton's injury, but we will see. 312-332-3776. Before we go back to your calls, hey, Justin. What did you think of your performance? Were you pleased?
I don't think I'm pleased with how I played at all. You know, I think there's a lot more in me that I have to show. And, you know, I know that's going to come with time. I know it's not going to happen overnight, so I'm just going to keep grinding. And, you know, no matter what happens, I know I'm meant for this. And I'm meant to be here. I think, you know, kind of my path here has been crazy. When I was younger, I never thought I'd be in this position. So I'm here for a reason, and I definitely think that I can play better. And I just think that this is the beginning. So I'm definitely excited for the future and excited to get back to practice on Monday, Tuesday.
There you go. There you go. So let's see what the game plan is. He was executing a game plan put in for Andy Dalton. Coach, you've got to get him on the move, out of the pocket, and let him make plays because this kid's dynamic.
It's one of the things he does well. Saw it in college, and I know that that will translate into the pros. I'm just sorry that Andy Dalton had to leave the game because of an injury. He was trying to do his Justin Fields impression by saying, you know what, I know that you like his wheels and his speed, but I got that too. I'm going to run. You know what, I felt good, man, that run. No one was open. You know what, no one's open again. I'm going to go it again. Run. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Snap.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And
my
so,
knee.
And he tried to go back out there, tried as a gamer, tried to go back out there, and it did not work. So he's on the sideline standing there next to Nick Foles. I wish I had the mic open. I wish I was able to hear the conversation between Dalton and Foles. Foles there in his shorts and his shirt, you know, with the earpiece in. I wonder what Dalton was saying to Foles about seeing Justin Fields out there learning on the job.
There you go. Back to the phones. Adam's in South Holland. Hey, Adam, what's up, Cookie?
Hey, what's going on, guys? You guys have a great show. You guys have an awesome show.
Appreciate you.
Thank you, Adam.
I just want to say, you know, I think people are a little hard on Justin. I give him a C because, remember, Allen Robinson dropped a touchdown pass.
Yes.
So if you give him that touchdown pass, he'd have over 100 yards. He would have had an interception, but, you know, he fumbled the ball, but he got it back. I just think, you know, Matt Nagy is going to be – we're going to put him in the spotlight because his play calling, you're going to have to get him away from the line because the Bears' offensive line can't protect anybody, so you don't want him getting hit. But I just think Matt Nagy is going to really be called to the carpet now because when we didn't get that fourth down because he tried to – you know, he tried to quarterback sneak it. Justin Fields, get him out on I guarantee you he can outrun anybody on the ends for 1 yard. And you're just trying to push him up in the middle, and then we didn't get that first down.
All right, one thing, Adam, we got to watch the game, go back and watch the tape.
We appreciate
it. Appreciate your call. The offensive line has been better than we've given them credit for. They have been.
Yes.
They've got some issues at left tackle with injury. Jason Peters played every snap, 100%. They did not have one substitution on that offensive line yesterday. Every guy played every snap. And Jermaine Ifedi is off to a very good start.
As much as the offensive line was a storyline for us in the summer leading into the season, it's really not really on the front burner anymore.
It's not.
Because they're holding their own. Now, if you do see a sack for Dalton or Fields, usually it's because they hold the ball too long. We gave you the stat a few weeks ago regarding how Fields held the ball longer than any rookie. Actually, held the ball longer than any quarterback in preseason. Again, that's just a sample size, but it's just a learning curve where he's got to get the ball out quicker,
yep.
Right? And again, it all depends on Matt Nagy understanding what Fields can do to be able to get this offense going with him at the helm. It's different. No question, it's different. But I like Andy Dalton trying to pretend like he was Justin Fields, like, I'm going to make sure his ass is pinned on the bench. I can run. Watch this. Yeah, it didn't work out for him.
First you, Andy. One, second one.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a problem.
Be you, Andy.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Josh. He's next. Hey, Josh, what's up, man?
Yeah, what's going on? Yeah, I don't know if we got Packers fans calling in, but release Eddie Jackson. It's a little crazy, right? I mean, he did get the fumble to start the turnover chain.
Correct.
And then I would have to say I think Justin had a good game. He had some rookie mistakes, but you got to say, I mean, he had the game-clinching first down. You know, he had to drop the A-Rab. That would have been a touchdown. He had to drop by Mooney. So, overall, I think he had a good game for a rookie. Let's see what he can do with a week worth of practice. And hopefully we can beat the Browns.
Hopefully. It would be nice to see. That would be as you would say, a restaurant quality win if you win in Cleveland.
Yeah, I understand the status of Justin Fields. We all know the status of him being a rookie. We get that. However, not enough points were scored. And so I blame the offense for that. And I admit that falls at the feet of Nagy and the players. I'm not great on the curve just because Justin Fields wears blue and orange. The problem with this football team is that they don't score enough. And when you have an offensive line that's put together with tongue depressors and Elmer's glue trying to be able to hold up their end of the bargain, then now the offense has to be able to get it done. Montgomery's doing the job as far as him wanting to run the football. That's great. But you got to utilize your tight end more. You mean Cole Kmet or Jimmy Graham can't be more of a vocal point of the offense? And the same thing with the wide receivers. Yeah, we saw the game. We saw the drop passes. The point is, though, is that you've got to stretch the field. You see that Fields has a nice touch on the ball, getting and taking shots down the field, which I enjoy. But you've got to be able to score more points, man. If you're just watching Bears football, you think the whole NFL is like that. But if you watch the whole NFL and you're seeing all these big numbers across on the good teams and bad teams, the Bears have to be deep in the 20s or in the early 30s offensively for me to be satisfied. They have to be, Cap. They're like, you're not winning games like this across the board all the time.
No.
There are more prolific offensive teams that'll beat the Bears' ass because the Bears can't do their end on the offensive end. They got to do better.
And just so we're clear, I'm going to say it again. If indeed Andy Dalton has a bone bruise, an ACL, an MCL, a strain, whatever he's got, If he's not starting on Sunday and Justin Fields is, there's no reason to go backwards then unless Justin, God forbid, gets hurt. If he's healthy, kid, it's your job.
What do you think of that, Danny? Makes sense to you?
Absolutely.
That's it.
So the only way you say that Fields is starting is if Dalton's injured?
Correct. If Dalton,
because you keep saying that it's Fields is taking over now. Is that because of injury?
Yes.
So if Dalton's 100%.
I don't believe Dalton can play.
But what if he can? Because we don't know the medicals. What if they come back, he's fine, whatever, he can play. Then is it still Justin Fields' team?
Wow. I would probably start Andy Dalton on Sunday. Probably. But I don't believe he's healthy, so I don't believe it's a discussion. I don't see any way Andy Dalton's healthy to play.
Laura Olkman kept saying that he was telling everyone on the sidelines yesterday that he was fine. Everybody that came by him, he said, I'm fine, I feel fine, I feel great. I mean, maybe it's a bone bruise, but it's crazy speculation to say that just from a video. I know Ian Rappaport reported it. He's more tapped in than most, so there's some credence to maybe it's the bone bruise. But if he's fine and he can play, then whose team is it, Cap?
I would probably start him on Sunday. I would. You could see that Justin's still raw, learning. I'd probably start Andy. I just don't see a scenario where Andy Dalton's healthy. If he was truly healthy, he went out there for two plays, gutty, tried, couldn't move, got sacked, and never went back in the game. You're telling me in 6 days he's ready to go?
Now, remember, you said after week one that for sure it should be Justin Fields' job, full stop. That was you, right?
Yeah, it was me.
Okay, so you might as well just keep going with that narrative and push it out there like, hey, if Dalton's going to lose his job because of injury and you just want to see Fields out there, let him start.
If I see Justin Fields, which I fully, fully believe, this is no inside, my gut is Justin starting on Sunday, that Andy can't physically go. If that's the case, then unless he gets injured, there is no reason to go backward. None. Kid, we were trying to hold you off for a few games, let you get more comfortable. There's things he's obviously got to work on.
Right. More than a few.
Correct.
Man, he can't. I mean, he's so excited he can't stand still on false starts.
So he's like,
and that's just timing with him and white hair, right?
Correct.
That's the time, like, when I clap, send me the ball. And he's just like trying to.
No, Mustafer.
Mustafer, rather. He's trying to move up and just like, is he going to send me the ball now? Or like, so now it's a false start. Now you get two of them.
Correct.
In crucial spots.
Correct.
That's timing.
Things he's got to learn. But if you do indeed hand him the keys, you're at quarterback, Andy can't go. Well, if Andy says in 3 weeks, I'm good, I'm healthy now. Nope. Justin's got the job. Period. It's the way I do it. A great call on a missed field goal in the Vikings game. We both have done play-by-play. You got to hear this. Plus all your Bears calls. 312-332-3776. Be right back.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
High snap, put down. Joseph, come on! It is gone! No, he missed it. Are you kidding me? He missed it right.
He missed it right.
Oh, my heavens.
Oh, my.
He missed it right.
What a gut punch to a team, Paul, that play after play, toward the end, fought its way back.
Oh, missed it by like a foot.
And just,
oh my God.
Missed that call by a foot.
So, that call, I mean, if you're Paul Allen, who's really, really good, he's an outstanding announcer. You call a lot, Jonathan.
Yeah.
You call football, you call baseball, you call basketball. Same here. I've never done hockey, but you're always taught, watch it, see it before they do it, and then let the play develop before you make the call. And he was so excited. Jeff, can you play the beginning of that again? So excited. I mean, it was like it left his foot. It's good.
High snap. Put down. Joseph, come on. It is gone. No, he missed it.
It's no good.
Are you kidding?
No, he missed it.
Yeah. Bursich is like, no, he missed it. No, actually, Paul, he missed it.
Like, you don't want to embarrass your play-by-play guy, but it's like, high snap, puts it down, it is good! No, he missed it.
No, actually, he missed it, Paul. Take that.
High snap, put down, Joseph, come on! It is good! No, he
missed
it!
It's no good.
Are you kidding me? He missed it right.
He missed it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take that.
It happens. It happens to the best of us.
We've all been there.
Yeah. He really was trying to will that ball in there, but Zimmer, Chicago Zimmer, 0-2.
We didn't play well.
Wow.
We're in trouble here.
And like, Cousins was actually pretty good yesterday.
He was. He was running all over the field.
He was?
Yeah, I was watching him, yeah. Boy, and that's what I'm talking about, Cap. Cap, I know that we're here in the covered wagons of the Midwest. We're only about defense and running the football. But my God, give me a thrilling ball game every now and then. Give me something to get me off the couch. I mean, think about that.
So
some of those great games with the big numbers.
So I walked in the house after post game because we got off early because the White Sox were playing.
Yes.
And they have to do the Sox. And I walk in the house, immediately go to the red zone. I'm watching it. I have a 6-team parlay. All I need is the Cardinals to win because I know the Chiefs are going to win on the money line. They just have to win the game on Sunday Night Football. They get to miss field goal. I'm like, yes, sir. Then the freaking Chiefs, Clyde Edwards-Alaire, fumbles on a game-winning drive.
NFL, man, you never know what's going to happen. Just like this Bears team, we don't know what's going to happen from week to week because of the offense. See, it's one thing to root for Kansas City or Baltimore, even Tampa, those prolific offenses. But with the Bears, you just don't know what you get week to week. This is why people are behind Justin Fields. They just want to have something more consistent, more fun offensively. You got to be able to get up there and be able to give you something more offensively. We haven't seen enough of that with the Bears. Hopefully they'll settle in on someone.
No question. We're going to go back to the phones. I also have to tell you, the Roquan touchdown,
yes.
He didn't get the ball. Did you know that?
I did not know
that. He did not get the ball, and he wanted it for his mantle. But he said, I got the jersey. I can frame that. Whatever. A lady reached out to him on Twitter, said, yes, Roquan Smith, you made my year. It's great to be home. Let's connect so I can be the person to return your first NFL TD.
But he threw the ball to her. That's what I don't get.
I think it was the emotion.
He wanted the ball for the mantle, but after he scored, I watched it, he threw it right into the crowd.
Right. So she's going to get it back to him, which I think is really cool.
Sidebar, may I approach?
You may, brought to you by Ankin Law.
So in the first quarter where we saw Gibson, after Chase drops the ball, there's a taunting 15-yard penalty on Gibson. This was a problem all throughout the NFL. The taunting penalty. Clearly, the referees got the memo. They got the email. Hey, by the way, remember we talked about in the summer about the taunting penalty?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's get it done here. You didn't do a good job of that in week one. Week two, every game you turned on, there was a taunting penalty. Every game. Cap, it's one thing for the NFL and Goodell, in this era of Goodell, to want to get the physicality out of the game, but now you're going to take the emotion out of it too? We will let you guys celebrate in the end zone, defense and offense, but you can't taunt. Like this whole give and take. Now you're going to take the physicality and the emotion out of the game. What's a football player got left beside the paycheck?
Don't disagree with you. Now, I said to...
This is nonsense.
The three guys I work with who all play, they go, I didn't play, but Robert Quinn, come on, man. You can't be that stupid to hit Joe Burrow. And Joe Burrow, he's a smart guy. He didn't get destroyed. He made sure he went down 15 yards. Bam.
Got to be smarter than that, though. There's no question.
But on the Tayshaun Gibson one, okay, he made a really good defensive play. He's clapping over the top of him. Is that really worthy of an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty?
It is not.
The one that Reed made for Seattle in their game against, I think it was A.J. Brown going down the sideline. He made a really nice play down by the goal line and knocked the ball away on a deep pass. And he gets up, 15 yards. I'm like, are you kidding me?
So now you have to be robotized sheep and just go out there and just make your play and then just go right back to the huddle. That was a nice play.
Yeah, I didn't like that. You're right.
That's just a nice play. I'll go back to my huddle now.
Correct.
We're not robots, man. We're human. It's human emotion. when you've practiced all week, you beat your body up, you've done everything you can to get yourself physically and mentally ready, and you actually achieve and you make a play, bam, I feel great about it, right? After you've made the play, you feel great about it. Hey, no one's asking you to be old school Mark Gastineau and just have a fit on the ground. No one's telling you to do that. But at least you feel like, man, I accomplished something. Everything I worked with for all week, everything I did, man, it came to this moment. I made the play. Yes! 15-yard penalty.
Right. And Lance Briggs said Lovey would scream at them all week, hey, play through the whistle, not dirty.
Right.
Through the whistle with an edge. I want edge. He said, so if we got a penalty for a taunt, they wouldn't say a word. The Robert Quinn one? He goes, you can't have that. You cannot. That was a sack. He chased him out of bounds.
Burrow was in the white and you still pushed him.
Correct.
He was already on the out of bounds on the white, and you still pushed him
like
anyway.
The warning track.
I mean, you were pulling up yourself, Quinn. You were pulling up yourself. You just had to give him like the little why?
A little hip check.
You don't have to
come
do
on,
that,
man.
Don't have to do that. That's unnecessary.
Let's go to Jeremiah in Plainfield. What's going on, Jeremiah?
What's up, guys? Hey, listen. First of all, I'm not going to get on the play caller on Minnesota in the Minnesota game because when we got Matt Nagy, said. Good, we're going to be good. And now they're like, actually, he's not that good. And so my comment is about Matt Nagy because you're not going to tell me that Mike Glennon, Mitch Trubisky, Nick Foles, Andy Dalton, and Justin Fields are all the same guy. They have the same stat lines, the same game plan, the same everything. Everything's the same. The touchdown to interception ratios. The only thing that's different is the rushing yards because we have – Trubisky in the Fields with the leg. Matt Nagy has to be fired. I would fire him before the season is even over with. The players have been undisciplined since he's gotten here. All these extra penalties and all these extra unsportsmanlike conduct, that resonates with him. He's lost this team. He has totally lost this team.
Yeah, I appreciate
Monday.
The call. I completely disagree with you.
How about that, Cap? Now, there's a Bears Monday, right?
He has not lost his team. Is he a shaky play caller? Yes.
Yes.
As I think Sylvie has stated it, we're going to run. No, we don't do that. We're going to develop Mitch. No, we don't do that. We're going to be a top 15 offense. No, we don't do that. Like, I want to see his offense prove his validity as a play caller. We haven't seen it. That all said, the culture up there is really good.
That's
you
correct.
Have. He has not lost his team.
That's that, good. Culture doesn't win NFC championships, but it's always good to have everyone on the same page.
Agreed. So let's see if we can maybe give the play card to Bill Lazor.
No, we're not doing that.
Jeff.
You know, we're not doing that, Cap. It's not happening. Because this is what Matt does best.
In his mind.
Yeah, he believes that. I mean, otherwise, why isn't Mark Helfrich still here? Right, I mean, there's a guy there that knows offense, right?
Mm-hmm.
He can't get away from it.
Lazor now has five games he called last year where the offense was markedly better.
You sure that was Bill Connell's play?
I'm not sure. I'll never believe any of that stuff.
That's a great point. You could say it for the record, yes, because of what Matt said. You sure that was Matt? He wasn't calling the play?
Thanks, Coach Lazor. Jeff sure? Dickerson.
You sure?
He'll chop it up with us. Next.
Sure?
No.
Cap J. Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J. Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
In the great city of Chicago, Jeff Dickerson is fueled by the Pride Stores. Not your typical convenience store. Check out one of their 15 Chicagoland locations today. Can't wait to chop it up with JD. And tomorrow we're going to talk with Albert Breer, who you're a big don't rely always on analytics guy. Is that a fair?
That is correct. I think a balance is always healthy.
And John Harbaugh spoke with Albert after the game last night about his use of analytics on a couple two-point plays, and he said it was all gut. It was all me. And Lamar, let's go for it on fourth down.
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't get it, they probably lose the game.
How about exciting offensive football? And now we got the Bears talk with JD.
Wow, hey. Taking a shot, fired.
Well, JD, you're covering lower level Big Ten football, and everyone else is scoring the ball.
Just because my beat is the equivalent of Rutgers versus Illinois, okay? Now, let's not.
Hey, Rutgers is going in 3-0 to Michigan, kid.
Yeah, that's fine. That's true. You're right. Maybe more like Illinois versus, I don't know.
No, I think you got it right. I think that's fair. I think you're covering Illinois. That's
Illinois
what you're doing.
Against Central Michigan.
I mean, that's what you're covering every week. Congratulations, Jeff. Quality beat there.
Yes.
Maybe it's not that bad. Maybe it's more like Nebraska, where there's some hope and some promise, maybe. Yeah. They're playing some tough games. Yeah. And by the way, there was no appearance by Joe Burrow or any of the Four Horsemen at the Marriott downtown after that game yesterday. He was really stymied by the Bears defense. And that, to me, you know, look, I mean, obviously we'll get a ton into Dalton and Fields, and we talked to Matt Nagy, guys, 20 minutes. I'm up here at Halas Hall, very rainy Monday here in Lake Forest, and Matt would, I hope, give us an update as to the extent of Andy Dalton's knee injury, which I'm assuming is probably going to keep him out of at least the game this weekend against the Browns. But, you know, yesterday was about the defense getting back on track and taking the ball away. I mean, that's what everything they'd worked on all summer with the takeaway bucket and the emphasis on the turnovers. You know, I thought defensively they really imposed their will on a team that had some big-time offensive weapons, but you couldn't tell watching that game yesterday. So really big effort. I know it was the Bengals, but big bounce-back performance by the defense. If they can play near that level most of the year, you know, they're going to give them a chance to be in a lot of games.
Okay, so Hoodie and I were talking about what happens if Dalton, I'm assuming Dalton can't play this week, so Justin Fields starts. For me, then, barring, God forbid, an injury to Justin, there is no turning back. If Andy says in 3 weeks, all right, knee feels good, Justin is the guy going forward. Is that fair?
I think that's exactly how it's going to play out. And you know, listen, I mean, Andy Dalton knew it. I mean, he understands the situation. And there is no turning back. I mean, once you make that move, again, unless there's an injury, and then you would have an Andy Dalton potentially available down the road to come back in and play, which wouldn't be, you know, the worst possible thing. I mean, it would be bad because you don't want Justin Fields to get hurt. But all I'm saying is at least you would have some proven backup quarterbacks on your bench. You can't start Fields on Sunday and then, you know, take him out the next week or go back to this rotation thing. I think what's done is done. I think the Dalton injury probably will keep him out of at least a game or a couple of games, and then that's the end. That's Justin Fields' time now. Now, Justin Fields has a lot to work on, as people saw, and people wonder, you know, why, you know, isn't he completely ready? Well, I don't think he's completely ready, but now that circumstances are what they are, he needs to play a complete game. It's going to be a tough opponent on the road this weekend. And we'll see what kind of progress he can make. But you can just see there are the glimpses and the flashes, guys, are there. You know this. Everyone sees it. Now it's just a matter of can he piece it all together and give you a real consistent performance and not all these ups and downs that you saw yesterday.
From a play scenario, what was the positive and what was the thing that really Justin needs to work on to be a better quarterback? Give me both sides of the coin there.
Sure. Well, I think certainly the positive, Jonathan, is the way he can make the plays with his feet. I mean, I think every time he has a chance to get out of the pocket, there's a chance that he could break it. And that is but I don't really view him as a run-first quarterback. I think he tries to sit back there in the pocket and see what he can do before he hits the eject button and gets out of there. But once he gets out, you just can't deny that speed and that just innate ability to run with the football in his hand. So I thought that was very positive yesterday. I thought he had some very positive runs. And then, Jonathan, the big negative was, of course, getting fooled on the coverage by the Bengals where he threw the pick. He just read the wrong coverage. They surprised him, which, again, is going to happen when you're a rookie quarterback going against real defenses. This isn't preseason where everyone's just basic and vanilla. These are the Bengals, and these are NFL defenses trying to fool you in disguise coverages. And that's something that he got burned on. And, you know, in a different circumstance, if the game had been tied at that point, think about what a disastrous turnover that would have been. The good news for the Bears is that their defense got them to the point where they were ahead comfortably enough, where they were able to weather that sort of collapse late in the game. But again, I thought there was plenty to like and there was plenty to work on. And that is right now the story of Justin Fields. A finished product, he is not at this point.
All right, I want to talk about the offensive line because all five guys played 100% of the snaps. They were able to get 100% of the snaps out of Jason Peters. I would never have predicted that he would play every snap. These guys were all out there. Ifedi has had two really good weeks. If you put the tape on, which I know you do, he's been really good at right tackle. What is your thought on the offensive line through 2 weeks?
Well, and that one holding call on James Daniels was bogus. I mean, do you guys see how he just drove that guy to the ground?
Yes.
That was not a hold. That was a bad call. But, Cap, still, there's a lot of false starts. You know, there is a lot of sloppiness. Offensively, they're not putting the ball in the end zone nearly enough. But, no, I thought the offensive line, if you would take the penalties out of the equation, had some good moments yesterday. And, Cap, I'm with you. I never would have thought that after being limited in practice all week, that Jason Peters would have played 100% of those snaps. That was very impressive. I thought that was very encouraging, and it definitely helped the Bears out an awful lot. So I think certainly there were some really good individual performances yesterday at most of the points of the game, but just collectively, this is an offense that for various reasons is still really penalized. And then that, they get going and then they go backwards and then they get going and then it's third and 12. And they got lucky early in the game. They picked up a couple early, third downs, which I was impressed by. But then as the game wore on, you just get to the point where it's just too deep, the distance is too great, the down and distance, and they can't overcome that. So they really got to work hard on offense to clean up all these penalties.
Bears defense stopped the run. They stopped the big plays against Burrow. Why was the defense so effective against Joe Burrow and the Bengals?
They stopped the brunettes from showing up at the Marriott downtown. I mean, they did everything.
Woo!
Oh, man.
If you're 21 to 35. Woo!
Joe Burrow was not in the lobby with that robe on with the balloon. That's a story for another day.
We'll go
off the air.
Yeah.
But we can't tell that on the family-friendly show right here.
We cannot talk about the balloon and the robe. Let's not do that here. I'll tell Kevin
about that
later.
We just sprinkled it out there. Didn't give the details. Yeah. Okay, we're fine.
We can't do that.
No. Hey, they got a great, really good pass rush yesterday. I mean, they got to the quarterback. You saw Khalil Mack had a sack. Robert Quinn made a couple of nice plays. I mean, he did. I mean, not only was that nice stunt that he ran with Mack early in the game to get the sack, but he had a really nice TFL late in the game when it mattered. Akeem Hicks played really motivated football, I thought, yesterday.
Yep.
The safeties played better. The taunting penalty on Sean Gibson was ridiculous, and the NFL has got to do something. Now, Von Bell's taunting penalty on Dalton, he earned that one. That was as stupid gets. I mean, guy comes free off the edge, makes a nice play, bats the ball down. The Bears are backed up in their end zone almost, and then this guy's really starting. Now, that was a taunt. What Deshaun Gibson did clapping was not a taunt. But anyways, I thought every level played really well. You saw Duke Shelley took over at nickel. That got better in the secondary for the most part. I just thought from top to bottom it was just such an improved performance by the defense. And it begins with pressure. And they were in Joe Burrow's face an awful lot. There were very few throws that he had a lot of time to sit back there in the pocket and look downfield. They did a really good job putting him under some serious duress.
All right, before we let you go, because we're just about out of time, I just want your thought on what you saw from Roquan. Can they get this guy paid now? Because it's only going up.
Yeah, he'll get paid. Don't worry about Roquan. He'll get paid. Last we talked with him about this, he did not have an agent. So I don't know if
tell
that's...
him I'll call him.
What'd you say?
Call him. That's free money. I'll represent him.
Yeah, we know a good agent. 847-274. Go ahead.
I'll tell him. I'll say, listen. I say, Cap's got your back. He only wants 20%. Just give him 20%. He's got you taken care of. Don't worry about it. No. Yeah, listen, Roquan Smith will get paid. It's going to happen. He said that was his first touchdown since high school. He said his only regret was he gave the ball away to a fan.
And now she reached out on Twitter. She's giving it back to him.
Oh, she is. Oh, that's nice. Yep. That's a good gesture.
RG.
But yeah, don't worry about it. This guy will get paid. And that concludes our Nebraska football wrap-up. here on the Cap and Jay Hood show. Any Scott Frost questions before I go, guys?
Yeah.
I think the head coach maybe got his guys motivated going forward. Anything? Any Nebraska talk?
We got to roll. Have a great day.
That's it?
That's it.
All right. Vegas, baby.
See you,
Vegas.
JD.
Viva Las Vegas.
Oh, boy.
Viva Las Vegas.
Indeed, it is Las Vegas. And Waddle and Viva. Sylvie, do you want to go? Caller 10, regular line, 312-332-ESPN, 33.
I want to go to Vegas with you. That would be fun, man.
23776. Listen, not only on this show, but Carmen Yurko and Wallen Sylvie. At 435, we will read a name from all qualifiers. You'll have 10 minutes to call back to win a trip for two in Las Vegas, October 8th through the 10th. Don't call if you can't go now. It's going to be at the Circa Resort and Casino, and Wallen Sylvie will broadcast live. On Sunday, you'll be able to go to the game to see the Bear and the Raider. It's sponsored by IDOT's LiveForDeathIllinois.com. Listen all day today from Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000. Call, be caller 10 to qualify to go with Wallen Sylvie to Las Vegas.
All right. Lions and Packers tonight. We get you ready for a game that affects the beloved. If we can get a tie, we're all alone in first. Take that. Be right back.
Take that. Arnie.
Captain J-Hood. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Hey, the qualifier. You can be listening at 4:35 this afternoon to get the trip to Vegas.
Yes.
The qualifier this hour,
uh-huh.
Carlos Aguinaga of Burbank. How about that? Danny, did I get that right?
Not bad. I can't interrupt Carmen's Instagram video he's doing in the background here.
It's too late. You just did.
Carm!
Take that, Carm! Take that. Crosstalk coming up in about 7 minutes. Back to the phones.
You know, you could do that Instagram video anywhere. He just decides to do it in our small space here.
Correct.
Just yelling.
Just because he knows you're going to say, get your beak out of there, Carm.
That's right. You got all the city of Chicago to do it, but he does it right here.
We'll get a couple more calls in, but we have Monday Night Football tonight.
We do?
That would be Lions at Packers. Oh, my.
Yeah.
The Packers. Danny is all in that the Packers coming off of a blowout loss to the Saints, who, by the way, got blown out by the Panthers yesterday in Carolina. Danny believes that Aaron Rodgers is going to just beat the Lions to death tonight. Are you there?
No, I will not be at the game.
No, I didn't mean it. Wow.
Are you there? You going to Green Bay, Hoodie? Take that. No, I'm not going.
To a game there.
I'm not going to the game. But I would agree that the Lions will get a spanking tonight. It also shows you, you know what I'm going to do for you tomorrow? I'm going to do not just for you, but the audience. We're going to talk about the things that are the sure things in the NFL and things are just not real. Like the whole thing with the Saints, right? Mm-hmm. Saints are back. Look what they they're not.
Right. Jameis, that LASIK surgery. I heard that last week.
That was me.
LASIK surgery, yeah. Man. He can see now.
Yeah.
Until yesterday.
Right. Couldn't see.
See, awful again.
He can only see in neutral side games. You have to understand.
Take that.
We'll talk about things that are sure and things that we're not sure about in the NFL.
Patrick Mahomes? Sure.
Sure. Tom Brady? Sure.
Sure.
There's a lot of things I'm not sure about, though.
That's correct.
Like Jalen Hurts. Not so sure.
Yeah.
He was looking at you, Justin Fields. That's where you can climb. Like, don't be that guy, right? Be better. And then some of these other young quarterbacks. Urban Meyer? Pretty sure. Wants out.
Although he made a very impassioned statement, do not connect me to USC. I'm going nowhere. My goal is to win here, and I will get it going.
Okay.
So.
Long, long road to hoe.
Yeah, very much so. The game tonight, you anticipate that being a high-scoring game?
Why do you need to know that, sir?
I'm just.
Do you have a parlay going?
I don't have a dollar on that game.
You will though.
Yet.
Yeah. Is the sun down? Thank you, God. Here we go. Look at life. Take that.
That was on Yom Kippur. You gambling? I got to wait till the sun goes down.
Book of life. Good.
Amen.
I love you. Amen. Let's go. Let's go.
Parlex.com.
Here we go. Thank you, God. Here we go. 364. We'll do it again next year. All right. Here we go. Let me put the visor on. I got the suspenders. Let's go. Let's put some vests down. Little vest. Let's go. Calf back.
I fully expect
the over.
I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I don't think they win by 14 or more like Danny. Oh. I think they win the football game. Mm-hmm. But I'm guessing it's something like 34-24, something like that.
So you think the Lions will have will just hang in there late?
I think the Lions will score.
Now, remember, week one is not what you'll see this week necessarily. You saw the Lions. I think you're optimistic because you saw the Lions hang in there late in the game against San Francisco. Mm-hmm. They had a puncher's chance. Remember, they were coming from behind in the second half.
They were down 38-10.
So I don't know. I think because the Packers are at home, I think that's where you can get a blowout. I say it could be two touchdowns. Could be.
All right. Mike in Plainfield. Hey, Mike, what's up, kid?
Hello, Mike.
Mike? All right, Mike's gone. Q on the south side. Hey, Q, what's up?
Hey.
There he is. Q, you got it?
Bring him up, Jeff. There we go. Yeah, I got you.
Let's go. Look alive. Let's roll.
Yeah, I was wanting to get my take on Bears defense. That I just want to say that, I'm excited that they won, but I wouldn't put it more to their defense, because the real test comes within a couple of weeks for their defense. And I just want to know, where is the Bears' tight ends? I mean, like, I haven't seen them in the last two games. I mean, is they running the Rams' offense again without them using the tight end? Because the only time I see their tight ends is when they looking good in their jerseys on the sideline. Other than that, I don't know what's going on with their tight end, because, like I said, because the offense is nowhere to be found, and you're not going to be competing in the NFL with this type of offense run.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And appreciate the call, Q. They did get the pass to Cole Kmet, which was just a weak, weak offensive pass interference call.
I saw that. I thought that was odd.
Odd.
The call in that spot.
Yeah. That was a weak penalty.
The official's not going to get every call right, but you get the rare offensive penalty. Like, I hardly ever see that in this league.
Yeah, I saw both ways some really shaky calls. Really shaky. And all this, the taunting penalties. Come on. What are we doing here? So if it's a true taunt, got it.
It's a little clap. Stop. It's football, man.
Yeah, it's emotion. It's a game played by men with emotion.
So if you take the emotion out and the physicality as far as tackling, then what do you have in football?
Well said. All right, we'll crosstalk with the Carmen and Yurko show. By the way, follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch. Watch us live and join the chat. ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch. Sponsored by Pinehurst Resort. Crosstalk, 2 minutes.